Now, the Environmental Protection Agency says it's going to dial back Obama-era fuel efficiency standards for new vehicles. Those rules would have ultimately required automakers to produce a fleet of cars that averaged at least 50 miles per gallon by the year 2025. Yesterday, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt said that the corporate average fuel economy, or CAFE, standards went too far.
As you know, I'm here to announce that those standards that were set, that we are obligated to evaluate, I am determining that those standards are inappropriate and should be revised.
The rules were enacted in 2012 when gas was more than $4 a gallon. It started taking effect with the 2017 model year. They're going to be ramped up until 2025 under the original plan. A deal between President Barack Obama and nearly every major automaker holds CAFE rules in place through the 2021 models. The move also sets the stage for a legal showdown between the EPA and the state of California, which has been allowed to set its own air pollution standards that a dozen other states also follow. Michelle Krebs is an executive analyst for Cox Automotive's Auto Trader. Michelle, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, happy to be here.
Well, Michelle, I remember back when these rules came into effect, and for years leading up to it, CAFE, these corporate average fuel economy standards, were a hot topic of debate. Can you talk about what the current plan on the table would have done a little more?
Well, go back to 2012. The EPA set a goal that each manufacturer's cars and light trucks would average 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025. And that would have meant that every car would get 54.5 miles per gallon. It would be more probably in the range of 35 or something like that. But it would have, the whole fleet would have been included. But within that, there was a provision that there would be a review in 2017. When the Obama administration left office, they said, no need for a review. We'll just move ahead. President Trump came into office. He said, oh, no, we're going to do reevaluate. And that had to be done by April 1st. And so that happened. And now we've been told there will be a rollback. Now, interestingly, we don't know what the rollback will be. There have been no numbers tied to this rollback.
Right. All we know is that the numbers as ruled by the EPA now would be too strict. We don't know to what extent they would be dialed back.
Right, and we're supposed to find that out at some point, but we don't know that yet. go ahead.
Now, looking at the standards as they were, was there a sense in the auto industry and from people who watch the industry that, hey, maybe this was too tall an order, this is going to be hard to get an entire fleet of Fords or GM or whatever manufacturer to that 50-plus miles per gallon marker?
Well, I think a couple things. So if we think back to 2012, and you said this in your intro, gasoline was much more expensive. And I believe the thinking was that the prices would continue to go up. Well, things have changed in the world. We have a whole different world of oil production. We're producing a lot ourselves. Prices have actually gone really low. They've edged up lately, but still relatively low. And also the car makers have done a fantastic job of getting the fuel economy in regular vehicles much better. So I think the worlds were very different. And also during that time period, we have also seen a lot of focus globally on climate change. And of course there was the Paris Accord. And so there is a global effort to reduce emissions and improve fuel economy and go off, in many cases, go off petroleum altogether. And I don't see that trend will change. I think that what the automakers were looking for is some flexibility within that. Maybe certain things could be spread out in time, and that may be what they get. They'd also hoped for a single standard across the country and not having certain exceptions with various states.
Let's talk about that now, because that's part of the story that, I'll be honest, I got confused by. What's going on with the California part of this story?
California has always set its own standards. They got a special waiver, under the Clean Air Act many years ago. And so they've always had higher standards. They also, a lot to do with the pollution in the Los Angeles area, of course. And they had laid out even stricter standards going forward to 2025. I think what the automakers really were hoping for is some reconciliation between California and the rest of the country. And then California, there are about a dozen states that also follow the lead of California. And those all, California and those states represent a third of all of the new vehicle sales in the country. So it's it cannot be ignored. So now what the Trump administration has said is that they may eliminate that waiver. I don't know. I'm not a legal expert. I don't know if that's possible. But it is very clear we're set up for a legal fight.
Michelle Krebs is with us, executive analyst for Cox Automotive's Auto Trader. We're talking about the EPA saying it's going to dial back fuel efficiency standards for cars, the ones passed under the Obama administration. We asked you on Facebook, do you think that fuel efficiency standards should be kept the same, decreased, or increased? We heard from Camille there, who says, how about someone builds an affordable green car that is functional? And Michelle, that's been an issue raised with these standards that, okay, we can raise these raise fuel economy, but it's going to cost you, and it might cost consumers when they go and try to buy a new car. Is that part of the argument here?
And that is part of the argument. I think it's the biggest issue is there really isn't consumer demand for these vehicles yet. If you look at electric vehicles, which they represented last year 0.6% of all new cars sold in America, which was 17.1 million last year. If you even add that in with hybrids, plug-in hybrids, other alternative powertrains, it's less than 3%, and actually that group was down from where it had been before. So we really need to figure out how do we generate consumer demand. Now, some of it is, as your listener pointed out, there haven't been many affordable alternatives. You know, it started with Tesla with very expensive cars. It's a very expensive technology. A lot of research goes into it. We're starting to see some vehicles that are reasonably priced, like more normal vehicles. Chevrolet just came out with the Chevrolet Bolt. That's around that $30,000 range. Nissan Leaf is in that range. The other thing is, since the 2012 standards were proposed, the buyers in the U.S. have shifted away from traditional cars and to sport utility vehicles and trucks. So the consumer preference for cars are not there, and yet the electric vehicles tend to be cars. We will see sport utility vehicles that are electric going forward in the future. And then there's the issue of infrastructure for charging.
We also heard from Deb on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Deb says, keep making the requirements tighter and put more constraints on manufacturers to produce cars less dependent on oil. And that was one of the arguments for CAFE standards. Michelle, is that right, that if we have these standards in place, it's going to spark innovation as companies try to meet these needs? They'll solve these problems. Eventually, the costs are going to come down.
It has. There has been a lot of innovation. There's been a lot of innovation on regular gasoline engines, but everybody in the world is working on batteries. The challenge with batteries, they're expensive. They're big. There's a big effort to figure out ways to make them smaller but be more powerful so you can have longer range. It's not a lack of effort. If someone had a breakthrough, we would have known about it by now because they would have made a fortune. It just hasn't happened. And to your listener's point, okay, the car companies can make them. Who will buy them? Because people are not buying them now.
We are talking about fuel economy standards in cars. Michelle Krebs is with us, executive analyst for Cox Automotive's Auto Trader. EPA says we're going to dial back fuel economy standards passed in the Obama era. New numbers? We don't know yet. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about stricter fuel economy standards for new vehicles? Are they necessary to spur innovation and clean technologies and help the environment? Or were they too high, unrealistically high, potentially bad for consumers and for businesses? And do you want more fuel-efficient cars? Do you want them to be cars or larger vehicles? Tell us your own consumer story when it comes to cars and fuel efficiency. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the EPA's move to dial back Obama-era fuel efficiency standards on new vehicles, those scheduled to ramp up to 2025. New numbers still in the works. Michelle Krebs is with us, executive analyst for Cox Automotive's Auto Trader. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your opinions. What do you think of this announcement from the EPA? Should we be trying to dial up fuel economy over the next 7 years? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. To your calls now, Steve is with us in Stoughton. Steve, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. First of all, I just want to say I think it's very short-sighted for the Trump administration and the EPA to roll back the CAFE standards. And on a personal level, I'm all in on the electric car. And my personal experience, and I just think people have not, people just don't know this, to operate an electric car in today's world with a power gen, electric generation being cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, it's 50% of the CO2 emissions of a gas-powered car, and my electric costs, my fuel costs, are about a third of what it would be if I had a gas car. And finally, the operating costs are basically nothing. So it's a very, while the initial cost might be high, the ongoing costs are really, really low.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Michelle,
Well, Steve raises a great point. That is true, and I think one of the big jobs we have to do going forward is educate people about electric vehicles, hybrid vehicles, that kind of thing. And Steve will have a lot more choices in the future, because one of the things I would like to add is that despite the fact that the EPA is saying it's going to roll back the standards, the automakers are marching forward. They see the writing on the wall, and besides, their plans are set in place. General Motors has said we're staying the course that we had planned, you know, as if it were the same standards for 2025. They're going to introduce 20 new electric vehicles by 2023. Ford is investing $11 billion over the next 4 years to bring 40 new electric, hybrid, plug-in hybrid models. In fact, Ford showed us their lineup the other day, and every sport utility vehicle will have a hybrid or plug-in hybrid option, and they've got electric vehicles in the works that I can't talk about. Even the big Ford F-150 pickup truck will have the option for a hybrid powertrain. So they see the way the rest of the world is going. But, you know, Steve raises a great point. We are creatures of habit. We're used to just popping into the gas station, topping it off, and going on our merry way. But if this will take a little change, and here in the Midwest, we don't have a great infrastructure for charging yet either. So that's got to come.
Steve, thanks for that call. Go next to Mark in Richland Center. Mark, hi.
Yeah, to echo the information about the Ford and the pickup truck, I won't buy a pickup truck because they get horrible gas mileage. And how many times do you actually load a pickup truck full? And the body mass of a pickup truck when it's empty is not very heavy, and so it's not really that difficult to put the kind of a powertrain like what's in the car that I'm driving, which is a Toyota Prius. You can put that drivetrain into virtually any vehicle. They drive semis with it. They drive locomotive trains with it. So the whole infrastructure that we have right now for gasoline may be the limiting factor, but the fact is that I can drive like a maniac and still get 37 miles to the gallon in this car. And anytime I really need to haul something, all I got to do is lay the seats down, and I can put almost, I can put 3.5 to 4 foot wide lumber in the back of the car and close the hatchback.
All right, Mark, but drive careful, though. No driving like a maniac out there. Michelle, he's saying, hey, the technology that we're seeing in these cars, it can translate into trucks, as you were kind of just pointing out yourself.
Well, it will, but I'm sorry, but a Toyota Prius can't do what a Ford F-150 can do. I mean, many people need pickup trucks for work, and, you know, Prius isn't going to cut it. But, and I would say, you know, the current, if you compare pickup truck mileage today with what it was even 10 years ago, there's been vast improvement. There's been a lot of, you know, Ford's using aluminum to lighten up the vehicles, but and it's going to take a lot of batteries to move a size of a pickup truck. So there, but it's coming. It's gonna. It'll happen.
But you say hybrids probably first, not full electric when it comes
to
trucks.
Right.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Michelle Krebs is with us from Cox Automotive's Auto Trader. Talk about fuel economy standards. The EPA saying we're going to roll back plans that were in the works to really raise average fuel economy in the country by 2025. We don't know what new targets would be. Back to your calls. Aaron is on the line in Eagle River. Aaron, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Aaron?
Well, I think that... we continue to buy vehicles that get poor gas mileage because the price of gas in America is kept artificially low through for many reasons, but mainly through subsidies to giant corporations that continue to make huge profits. If we did what Europe did and internalized the cost of the cleanup of the pollution caused by internal combustion engines into the cost of gasoline, I think those higher prices would drive people to buy cars that are much more fuel efficient.
Aaron, thanks for that call. And Michelle, Europe, a very different approach. Most European countries, a very different approach to gas taxes than the U.S.
Oh, right. I mean, Europe always, I mean, that's why diesel engines were so popular until the Volkswagen debacle. You're taxed on the size of the engine and such. But but Europe is moving to, it will be moving to electric as well. The other country that will be a huge force in this is China, which is going to regulate. They need to because of their air quality. They will be demanding electric vehicles going forward, and you know they can do that kind of regulation. We aren't the same kind of society, but you know one of the concerns I have too is that China becomes, and they have made it very clear this is what they want to do. They want to be the global center of excellence for electric vehicle development. And that would put us at a disadvantage. If you think about we're rolling back and China's regulating towards EVs, if you're a company investing, where would you invest your money? You'd invest it in China where you're guaranteed I mean, it's the largest car market in the world, but also the largest EV market and growing.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Adam on the line in Eau Claire. Adam, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What did you want to bring up, Adam?
I do have an example that I thought was kind of intriguing. I drive a pickup truck pretty much every day for work and for personal life, and the last several vehicles I've purchased diesel vehicles, and it used to be that you were buying a premium option that got you more fuel efficiency and power economy, whatever you want to call it. And something interesting happened in 2007. You saw an EPA mandate came out, and all of a sudden now all the manufacturers have to comply and be able to operate on ultra low sulfur diesel fuel, and that was done in the name of clean air and an EPA mandate, I understand. But the reality is when the rubber hit the road, now all of a sudden you've got a vehicle that you're paying a premium for in the name of performance or economy, whatever we're talking about. And then they laden it with all of this emissions equipment, which it did a few things. The biggest thing is it was a big detriment to fuel economy. And then reliability is the other thing. Now you've got a whole other gamut of systems that need to be maintained on an already very expensive vehicle. And you go back to the fuel economy question. So, yes, that vehicle is operating perhaps cleaner. The emissions are cleaner. However, you're consuming significantly more fuel to achieve that. So, really, what are you gaining? Yes, it's cleaner, but you're utilizing a lot more resources to gain the same thing. So,
Adam, I want to jump in and bring Michelle on this. This is I hadn't heard about this, Michelle. Is that a story you've been following?
Yes, and you know what really was the icing on the cake is, I mean, as he points out, there's a lot of different kinds of extra catalytic converters on diesel engines because they tend to be dirtier in certain elements, and that's where the Volkswagen problem came in. No one could figure out how they were doing it without this equipment, and we found out they weren't. They were cheating on it, so. That has really set the diesel development back. I think we'll see diesel engines on trucks, but not much else. And, you know, I don't know how much development will go on there to improve them in that way.
Adam, thanks for that call. As we start to wrap up, Michelle, it sounds like from some of what you said, because of the international market, because of current existing plans at automakers, even if we change and we don't impose these stricter standards by 2025, that's not necessarily going to change the direction of the technology.
Right. I think we're on a path. It may be not as fast as some want. You know, there may be, we may not hit like certain timing elements that were there before, but this is a global movement. And if you're a global automaker, you've got to be focused in that direction of a cleaner, possibly EV future. And when we start talking about driverless cars, those most likely will be electric vehicles. And that's a whole other subject.
Michelle, thanks a lot for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Michelle Krebs, executive analyst for Cox Automotive's Auto Trader. We talked to her about the EPA's plans to undo Obama-era fuel efficiency standards for new vehicles. Those plans were just being phased in, starting with last year's models and ramping up to 2025. Still up in the air, what new targets, what new numbers might be. Still time for you to share your thoughts. There's a lively conversation over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can see what other people around the state are saying and weigh in yourself.